friends. We hope you enjoy this inspiring word from our senior pastor, Pastor Johnny Grobler.
Hallelujah. I want you to take your Bibles with me. I've entitled my message this morning, As for Me and My House. As for Me and My House. And I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19. It is so important, you know, as we're launching into this year, we've ascribed this year as the year of family restoration, and we are building altars, and I've been speaking to you about establishing the 6-10 principle in your home based on Matthew 6 verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in the name of Jesus, we are taking every family and every home for the Lord. Hallelujah. And establishing altar in our homes. Now, on Tuesday night, we are meeting with all the life group leaders, everybody, and we are preparing. That's why the leaders are meeting here, for the focus on the family, raising successful children. Hallelujah. We've been trained, being equipped. And from next week, I want everybody that's here to find a life group, to get into that life group, because for the next 13 weeks after that, we're going to be focusing on the family and laying some good foundation. Hallelujah. And establishing truths, because listen, when your children are not successful, your life is a misery. Amen. No matter how successful you are, if your children are not successful, you will be miserable. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we're going to have successful children. So we're establishing that. So from this week, Tuesday, we'll be with all our leaders doing the second session of training. And from next week, Thursday night, be in a life group. Amen. So that you can be established. Somebody said, so what if I don't have children? Then you are a child. Amen. You know, my son's 29, but he's still our child. Praise God. And it's important that we learn these principles from the Word of God. Hallelujah. So I want to establish the altar of God in my home. Deciding to establish an altar in your home is the most important decision that you can make. Because the Bible says when Obed-Edom established and welcomed the Ark of the Covenant in his home, God blessed him to such a degree that the king became jealous and went and gathered the altar. So by establishing the altar in our homes, we invoke the blessing of God on our home. And I want to read about Elijah, how he stood and he said, choose you this day. And that's what I'm hearing in the spirit. Choose you this day. Make a choice. 1 Kings 18 verse 9. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel. This is Elijah. 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah to eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But the people answered him not a word. And that's the problem with today's generation. The people answered him not a word. The prophet asked, how long will you falter between two opinions? And here stands the people. And he says to them, listen, if God is God, then go for God. But if Baal is, then go for him. You cannot stand with your foot in both kingdoms. And the Bible says they answered him not a word. Listen, an answer is required. Can I say it again? An answer is required. So many times we sit, and when the Lord speaks, we let it go over our head, thinking that we don't have to answer. But I'm saying to you today, an answer is required. Hallelujah. That's the problem. They answered him not a word. They were unwilling to make a decision. They were unwilling to set their choice. Leave it to others. I'll just go along, happy-go-lucky. Doris Day doctrine, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The Lord will open and the Lord will close. No, you will bind and you will loose. That's what Jesus said. We just going along. With what? If you just go along, the enemy will take the reins. Listen, something I've learned about serving God, it's intentional. You have to guide, you have to check every decision where it's going. Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites because they did not discern the signs of the times. He said, you hypocrites. In other words, you know the signs. You hypocrites, you're just making like you don't. Amen. I remember when I was small, if my mom asked me, why am I giving you a hiding now? And I said, I don't know. Oh, then I get two hidings. Amen. You hypocrite, you know. Amen. A choice must be made. Elijah said, choose you this day. And that's really when we speak to people and we speak to the lost, we need to bring them to a point where they realize a choice is required. Somebody say amen. Because if we're not careful, we don't make a choice, we will just be carried along with the rest. Here were the Israelites, and the Bible says Elijah calls the Israelites, King Ahab calls the nation of Israel. And guess what? He calls the nation of Israel, and amongst them, 450 prophets of Baal. And 400 prophets of Asherah, they all arrive. How come? How come these guys arrive when Israel's pulled together? Because Israel didn't want to make a choice. And if you don't make a choice, the prophets of Baal will be amongst you. Hello? They're saying, well, leave it to others. But listen, your future is in your hands. It's in God's hands, but it's the result of your choices. Amen. Abraham was called to make a choice, to make an effort, to come out. And that's what happens when you get saved. You make a decision. You make an effort. I never forget getting home after getting saved. And man, when I got home, I went straight for all my albums, all my records. Those young people that are here today, LPs. You don't know what that is. Amen. CDs. Went straight for all that ungodly music. I grabbed them all. I broke them all. I threw them all in that bin. I said, I'm finished with this world. I'm finished with this kind of music. And my mother was trying to protect the music. I said, it's the devil. Get it out of my life. Amen. You can't serve God and have a pact with the enemy. Hallelujah. You know, some Christians, they live with pet demons. They think they got him in a cage. And every now and then, when they feel like it, they open the cage and play with the pet demon, put him back in. Doesn't work like that. You're never in control if you allow the enemy space in your life. Somebody say amen. When God spoke to Abraham, Abraham, the Bible says, brought his family out. You hear that, Wentworth? He brought his family out. He realized where he's living is an environment that he needs to get out of. He needs to take his family out of that environment. Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He said, I will be different. I'm coming out. Things are different in my family. Amen. I'm going to set things different. You cannot let the world bring your children up, and then you say, throw your hands in the air and say, oh, today's children. It's not today's children, it's today's parents. Amen. You parents sitting here today, it's because of you that your children are in children's church today. Hello? Tell your neighbor, it's today's parents. Amen. If it wasn't for you, your children would most probably be doing whatever the world's doing out there. But it's the parents of today. He was called to go out. He separated himself from that place. The Bible says that not only did Abraham separate himself, when he came to the promised land, you find the most amazing scripture. It says here, by verse 9, by faith Abraham dwelt in the land of promise. Where was he? In Canaan land. By faith Abraham dwelt in the land. In other words, he got there. Amen. But how did he dwell there? He dwelt in the land of promise as if in a foreign country. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Here's Abraham. He's in the land of promise, but he's dwelling there as a foreigner. He's dwelling there as if he's in a foreign country. In other words, he was saying, no matter where God brings me, my allegiance is not to the land, it's to my God. Hallelujah. No matter how great the promise, no matter how great the blessing, my allegiance will never shift. I'll never become a man of the land. If you look at Abraham, Abraham is known by his God, not by the land. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. So he sees, he dwells in that land and he never becomes what do they call it, these guys now? That's fighting with Israel. The name slips my mind, huh? A Palestinian. In the land of Palestine. No. He's Abraham of God. We talk about his children, they are the children. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, he had a different allegiance. He lived in the land like a stranger, in the promised land, partaking of the blessing of the promise. But the Bible says that not only is he in the land living like a stranger, while he's living, he's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. His eyes stayed on the Lord. His eyes stayed on the kingdom. His heart was separated for the Lord. And he wouldn't allow himself to settle in the land. He wouldn't allow himself to become a Palestinian. I'm especially using the word Palestine, not Israel, because we know Israel is the land of promise and you get confused. When I'm saying Palestine, I'm talking about he never became a man of the ground, of the land. He stayed a stranger in the place where he is. When your allegiance shifts and you start looking at the land to provide with you, you become just like everybody else. But when you dwell in the land of the promise like a stranger, with eyes set on the vision, you will stay in faith. You will stay with a vision that is from God. You will bring your children up. You will raise your family. You will minister to your wife as God's man. Hallelujah. Because the pressure's on us all the time to act just like everybody else. Hello? Amen? Well, they all do it. The fact that they all do it doesn't mean I can do it. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. He kept his eyes on God. The Bible says when he went there, the amazing thing about Abraham, everywhere he went, he established covenant with God. He built an altar there. I want you to read these words with me, Genesis 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord. What's the first thing he did? Build a house? Build an altar. Amen. There he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there, what did he do again? Built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. And so Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. He dwelt, he walked the breadth and the length of the land, but wherever he went, he was going in covenant. He was going with his God. That's why it's important to know where God is leading you. To have your footsteps ordered of God. Hallelujah. And no matter where you are, to give God the honor. Praise God. To build an altar. To say the Lord has brought us this far. Listen, every time God gives you a victory, you establish an altar. You bring the Lord an offering of your tithe. And you say, God brought me this far. Amen. It's altar. It's an important thing. And why am I pushing on this? And if you don't like my message, don't come for the next 3 months. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to hoy for 3 months on this message. Hallelujah. We are taking our homes for Jesus. We are establishing the covenant of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. We are saying, thus far has the Lord brought me. And we're walking in covenant with him. Listen, when you're in covenant with God, your enemies flee before you. Praise the name of the Lord. When you're in covenant with God, you don't have to fight your battles. God is fighting for you. Somebody say amen. Because he is in covenant with God. That altar. What was that altar? That altar was an evidence to all those around him. God brought me this far. What's the first thing that happens when you build an altar? You put a sacrifice on it, and the smoke, the incense, the praise, the worship, the thanksgiving rises to God and say, God, this is the place you brought me to. Hallelujah. Stand in that place. Establish that covenant with the Almighty God. Why is it so important? Because it is a voice to your family, to your children. Listen, your children are not Christians when they're born. Your children are heathens. They're as naughty as they possibly can get away with being. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Oh no, Pastor, my children are angels. They listen to everything I tell them. Amen. They need to be saved. Amen. They need to hear that God is good. They need to come to an understanding. Listen, you're not saved by your wife being saved, or your parents being saved, or your family. You saved when you meet the Lord yourself. And you come to a place where you sacrifice you on that altar before God. And say, God, this life has to die. Because I don't like it. Amen. I don't want it. Amen. You get to that. And that's what the gospel does, doesn't it? It confronts you with your sin. With who you are. And the more you try to excuse yourself, the more guilty you get. Amen. I know none of you wonderful people. You were all born in heaven. Pray for the pastor. Amen. We needed Jesus. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. It's a place of allegiance. It's a place of honor. It's a place of covenant. It's a place of relationship. It's a place where you said, this life I'm living now, I'm living by the resurrection life of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm experiencing the promises and the blessing of God. It's a place of worship, a place of sacrifice. Listen, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. My family know. My children know. Do not visit Dad on a Sunday. If you visit him on a Sunday, you will go to church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so, you know, in the beginning, my parents used to come and visit. Oh, Johnny, you know, we're going home by this afternoon. Can't you just today? I said, can't you just today? Can't you just today set aside an hour to come and worship? Amen. Can't you just today go to the beach with us? We come so far. So can't you just today come to church with me? You come so far. Come on now. You need to build an altar. You need to place a place, put your foot down and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise Jesus. Amen. I was thinking the other day, when Mary and Joseph were looking for Jesus, he's 8 years old. They travel out of Jerusalem. They 3 days journey away and they realize Jesus not with them. Now they go back to Jerusalem to go look for Jesus. Where is he? Can't find him. Perhaps they went to the soccer field and they looked for him there. Can't find him. Went to the movie house. Maybe he's there. Maybe he's surfing. They went to all the places where kids of 8 years old will be. Can't find them. At last, they happened to walk past the temple. And there's Jesus. Amen. Sitting with the scribes and the Pharisees. Discussing the things of the kingdom. And they said, Jesus, we've been looking for you everywhere. He said, why everywhere? Didn't you know where I'll be? I'll be in my Father's house. Amen. Hallelujah. I will build my altar. I will praise my God. I will live a separated, sanctified life for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you look for me on a Sunday, you will find me about my Father's business. Amen. I'm in covenant with the living God. When you live in covenant, you expect covenant blessings. When you're living in covenant, the enemy comes against you already laughing. Ha, ha, ha. They don't know what's happening to them. You made a big mistake. He come down. Amen. When things go bad around you, you start rejoicing. Because God's going to turn it together to work for good. For those who love him. Hallelujah. Because I'm in covenant with the living God. I stand in his presence. So choose you this day. Set aside the time. Why am I speaking this message? Because I'm saying to you, my church, Wentworth and the Bluff, as for me and my house, let's build an altar. Let's establish in our homes every day at 6 o'clock, I'm going to spend 10 minutes with the Lord. I'm going to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When you do that, you know what you're doing? You're washing your family with the word. Jesus said to the disciples, now you are clean by the word that I've spoken. You clean your families. Wherewith will a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. Only the word of God can wash deep in the heart and transform the life. Hallelujah. You're establishing altar. You are putting him first. You establishing something and you're making a declaration to principalities and powers that there's a king in your house. There's a master in this place. Hallelujah. When he comes knocking at the door, he has to take his pie and vai. Amen. I see some of you know what that saying means. The spirit of revelation starts rubbing off in your family. Amen. The spirit of revelation, because he is the spirit of wisdom and counsel and knowledge. So Abraham's eyes were set. And God said to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, every place you possess, build an altar there. Establish the praise to God. You say, what do you mean build an altar, Pastor Johnny? Must I go get some stones, unhewn stones? Whereas where never a chisel had laid itself. No, he's talking about establish an altar of worship. Hallelujah. When God blesses you, give a testimony. Tell of what God has done. Amen. In your home, take charge of your time. Take charge of your family. Set an altar. Hallelujah. Be like David who said, I will set no unclean thing before my eyes. Establish that in your home. Because when you do, you are laying a deep foundation. Hallelujah. When you build an altar, you establish truth. You affirm God's presence. You acknowledge his hand. You acknowledge his goodness, his provision. Hallelujah. Where is the power of the altar? It's our confirmation of the covenant. In this house, I put God first. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, being a Christian is not easy. Hello? It's easy to be religious. You ugly things, religious things, living like you, the God of your life. It's another thing to have Jesus, Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. An altar in your home is a powerful demonstration to the children that Jesus is Lord of your life. Hallelujah. That God is with you. Amen. They learn faith from you. Can I say it again? They learn faith from you. And something else, you learn faith from you when you establish an altar in your home. What do I do when I establish an altar? Well, I spend time reading the word. I spend time praying with my children and with my family. Amen. And just to help everybody start off, because not every father knows how to be a priest of the home. You take Pastor Fred's daily devotional and you read that day's devotional. Amen. You'll be surprised how quickly strength builds in your inner man. Hallelujah. I was speaking to one of our leaders here, and they said they started doing it. Now their children are dragging them. Hey, moms, almost 6 o'clock. Amen. Come. What else does it do? It causes you to take charge of your time. Amen. Because there's time thieves in our lives. Hello? One of the biggest time thieves is right in your pocket. Instagram. Twitter. Amen. Facebook. I won't say anything more. And if that one's finished, then another thief's waiting for you. That big one-eyed sitting in your TV room, watching you with a lazy eye. Amen. All these things, taking our time. Why is there power on the altar? Because Jesus, my Father, Jesus said, when I keep his commandments, will love me. He will come to me. And him and the Father will make his abode with us. Listen, Covenant is powerful because covenant is based on relationship, a communion, the fellowship. That's why God said, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you. Hallelujah. When you start gaining ground, you will find that you will start pushing the enemy off many areas of your life and establishing the kingdom. Somebody said, amen. Are you saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Praise God. We're going to do it. Amen. So this Sunday, not this Sunday, this Tuesday, I want all our leadership here for our final training. And I want everybody to commit yourself, get into your homes and establish. Listen, if the father's the altar of the home, he should either be a home cell leader in his home or lead his home to a home cell if he's the priest. I'll preach that to this side of the church. That side kind of got it. If you're the priest of your home, you should either establish the altar yourself in your home or lead your home to a place where the altar is established. You can't sit on both sides. If he is God, serve him. But if Baal is God, then serve him. You cannot serve two masters. Amen. And you know what I believe? We're standing here at the beginnings of revival. Hallelujah. What is revival? Revival is when the presence of God invades a place. Hallelujah. And people are brought to salvation all over. Somebody say amen. Joshua 24:15, I'm closing with this. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. We'll establish the kingdom. Will establish the altar of God. Jesus, be Lord of my life. Hallelujah. Every person has come to a place, has to come to a place where you lay your life on the altar and say, God, I'm giving this life as a sacrifice. Firstly, for salvation. Amen. Because none of us are good enough. And secondly, as the priest of your home. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift your hands. Say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. If you're saying with me today, as for me and my house, Pastor, we will serve the Lord. Stand with me today. Let's lift our hands. Let's thank God for his presence. Let's thank God for his anointing. Father, we thank you for each one that's standing. We thank you for us as a house, for us as a people, for us, Lord, who is standing here as kings and priests of our homes, as servants of the living God, to establish the altar of your kingdom. Us standing here in Wentworth, us standing here in the bluff, every one of us, Father, as we lift our hands and we glorify you, we thank you, Lord, that the incense of our worship will come from our altars, that your name will be glorified. Lord, we thank you now for anointing on each and every one to establish the kingdom, to kick the devil out of our homes, to kick out every spirit of wickedness and establish the altar of righteousness and glorify your name. We thank you for your glory on this place, your precious anointing now, Spirit of God. Many are facing opposition, even as they're making this choice and this decision today. But Lord, by your Spirit, I release the anointing to break the yoke, the Spirit of God to invade every home, inhabit every household. Shebra Sachanta, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of glory, the Lord of glory, to dwell in every home and each one, Father. We bless every saint, every one of you in Wentworth, we bless you today. I release the anointing of the Spirit of God, and we thank you, Father. that the altar of God shall be established, that the glory of God shall enter every home. Father, even in homes with one family member saved, just a mother or just a father or just a son or just a daughter, as they do, just like Obed-Edom, my God, established for you a place of worship, a place of adoration. You will dwell, you will come, you will reveal your glory and touch these homes. I bless you. I thank you, Spirit of God, for a mighty anointing. We thank you, Lord, as your people stand today as soldiers in the kingdom, as sentries for the kingdom, Father, that your mighty blessing rests on them. I destroy every yoke. I break every bondage in the name of Jesus. We stand with them now, Father, in their homes. And I thank you, Lord, for glory that will be established. Righteousness that exalts a home and exalts a nation shall be established in our homes. And Lord, we thank you for a mighty move of God, for a mighty revival, Father, that will sweep our nation, that will sweep through our homes. A mighty rushing wind flow through your home. In the mighty name of Jesus, I see the Spirit of God blowing in your home, the Spirit of God blowing through your household, cleansing, purifying, removing that which is not of God. In the name of Jesus, you foul spirits, you are rebuked, your assignments are canceled, your place is, in the name of Jesus, canceled in these homes. I bless every household. We bless every child. In the name of Jesus, I speak deliverance to those who are captive. Deliverance to those children who are caught in drug abuse, who are caught in ungodly relationships, Father. In the name of Jesus, I command that power to be broken. I speak deliverance to every captivity. I thank for your blessing in the home, for a new beginning. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed just for a moment. Friend, the great deliverer Jesus came to set the captives free. When Jesus said to them, "You will be free indeed when the Son sets you free," they said, "We have never been slaves." But Jesus said, "If you sin, you're a slave of the devil." Enslaved. I know what it is to be enslaved. I know what it is to desire to live right, to desire to do the right thing, to dress up nicely, to do all kinds of things that people think. But deep down, I know Johnny's got a problem. I know what it is to be bound. The things you want to do, you can't do. The life you want to live just seems beyond you. You keep thinking, this time I'm going to get it right. This time I'm going to do it. But then when you try, you fall short again. But thank God, the Spirit of God keeps drawing you and you keep standing up. And you keep thinking, I can do this thing. I want to do this thing. But the Bible says that Jesus came to set you free. There's only one who's got the power over sin. There's only one whose blood can cleanse and wash away my sins. His name is Jesus, the Savior, the Redeemer of the world. And if you'll call on Him and say, "Jesus, I've tried this thing, I've tried, but I need you to save me. I need you, Jesus. I acknowledge I cannot do this thing. I need you." When you call on His name, that's when He came. That's when the miracle happened. When I put my trust in Him. Him who died, who took my sins on Himself. And broke the power of the devil, because there was a righteous requirement against me that only the blood of Jesus could answer, that only the blood of Jesus could satisfy. And the moment I said, "Lord, let the blood of Jesus speak for me," the enemy's power was broken. The requirement against me was met. And the blood washed my sins away. And my eyes were opened. And salvation came to me from the Savior of the world, Jesus. This morning, as you're standing here, you say, Pastor Johnny, I need Jesus to wash my sins away. I need my sins to be forgiven. I need Jesus to touch my life. I cannot do it. I want to come today and lay my life on the altar and say, my God, I've sinned against you. I need you to save me. You are here today. The Bible says God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that those who believe will not perish, but have everlasting life. You're here today, you say, yes, Pastor Johnny, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want Him to save me, touch me, redeem me. If that is you all over this place, I want you to lift your hand. And by doing so, you say, Pastor Johnny, here I am, include me in your prayer. I want to make right with God. Thank you, thank you, thank you in the front. On my right there, all over this place. Thank you. I see that hand. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Towards the back there, God is speaking to you. There's some people here backslidden. You used to serve God at some time. But you know, things have gone wrong. I don't know what happened, friend, but God remains gracious and true and merciful. And right now you say, Pastor Johnny, I'm going to go into this year and I want to make right. I need Jesus to break the power of sin from my life. If that is you, I want you to lift your hand as well. I'm backslidden, Pastor Johnny. I need to make right with God. Thank you. I see that hand. Finally, third call. There are some of you yet today. You don't know if you're right with God. You hope you are. You hope that when you close your eyes in this world, that the merciful grace of God, the blood of Jesus, is going to meet you. But you're not sure. I say, Pastor Johnny, I'm not sure of my salvation. Pray for me. Include me in your prayer. If that is you, I want you to lift your hand as well. Now, Father, thank you for these hands. Each one that raised your hand, raise it again. As you raise it, I'm going to pray for you. Father, as hands are raised right now before you in humility, I bless them. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every one of these lives. I rebuke you, spirit of wickedness, blindness. I break your power. Lord, I release them from darkened understanding, each one here, and I release the revelation of Christ, the wonder of your salvation to come to them. I bless them. Now, all of you got your hands raised. I want you quickly step into the aisle and come to the front. I want to pray for you. Those in the front here, step to your right, to your left. Those on my left, step into the aisle. All over this place. Come, don't put your hand down. Don't stay where you are. You might be here and say, man, in my heart, I want God to do a miracle. I need God to do a miracle in my life also, but I didn't put up my hand. Can I come? Yes, friend. While they're coming, join them quickly. Step into the altar. Come. Come to Jesus.
To you. We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you and God bless.